in this week, he talked about, you know, the problem with Saul. Not, as Sally, I was talking with Sally before. He didn't yield to obedience to what the Lord wanted him to do, right? He had better ideas of a sacrifice or what would be pleasing to God. And so it made it to where we talked about how really Saul was the people's choice. He looked like the kingdoms around him. So God, out of his grace, he gave them what they wanted so that they could come to the end of what their idea of what a king should look like. And then God said, hey, now I'm going to institute and put in a man after my own heart. And that's the thing about you and I today is when you become born again, the Spirit of God is in you. And believe it or not, the whole drive of Satan for the time you're on this earth is to convince you somehow you don't have a heart for God. Or somehow you don't measure up. Or somehow you're just not going to quite make it. That's Satan's thing. Where with the Spirit of God already in you, you have everything you need. We just walk it out, amen? And by childlike faith, but maturing in him. But maturing in him. So seeing how Saul, what happened with Saul. You know, we left off with the Spirit of God rushing in upon David. Remember that? He wasn't invited to the sacrifice. He's the youngest. I don't know what was going on in that family. We read a little bit more here, but if you have the most important man that everybody knows, the last great judge, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, Samuel, and yet the youngest, and then Samuel says, hey, you and all your children join me, your family join me for a sacrifice and consecrate yourself and everything, and you don't invite David. So as everybody passed before Samuel, God said, nope, not him, not him, not him. And then he says, is that it? And then this is the one youngest tending sheep, didn't even have time to consecrate himself per the law, comes in, and instantly the Spirit of God says to Samuel, rise up and anoint him. Let me tell you, if you're born again, you know Jesus, you're not waiting on an anointing. You get yourself in trouble if you think you're waiting on it. You have the anointing already in you and on you. Jesus did everything you need for an anointing. We get ourselves in trouble if we're thinking or waiting on a special anointing somehow. We can't even describe or tell somebody what will get us arrived there to get that. Or maybe somebody on TV will tell us what we need to do to arrive that. Hey, God lives in me. I'm just as important as you. You're just as important as I am. We have the same Spirit that came rushing upon David lives in us. It's rushing in us. If we'll believe that. I think the greatest thing in the last 12 years as we've been coming to this church and seeing God just miraculously change me and my wife's lives was just believing in simple faith. Sometimes you can exhaust yourself trying to figure things out. You ever done that? What's human nature say? There's a secret out there. Somehow I'll get the secret to what's going to finally unopen the doors or locks for my life for success. And all along, it's simply trusting in him and growing with him. That simple. But the world will say, no, it's much more complicated. Come see me twice a week for 10 years, and we'll help you unlock it. It's already unlocked. It's already unlocked. It's letting it out. Saying, Lord, I trust in you here, regardless of how I feel. I've mentioned this before, a powerful book by Andrew Womack called Harnessing Your Emotions. And just one of the most powerful things, I'm not even in my notes. We've got a while, though. A lot of scripture to read today. But something, just realizing that where I am with God has nothing to do with how I feel at all. When we're led around by that, the ring in your nose of feelings, you're up and down. But Father, we thank you for strength and maturing in him is regardless of how we feel, Father God, we are firmly established in your grace. Your Holy Spirit is surging through me. I have everything I need by leaving his word. Father, thank you that in this time, in this age where we live right now, that we don't let our emotions drag us around. Can't listen to the news. Any last few days, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Just keeping focused on his word right now. Looking forward to being with you today. With my peeps. Amen? With my peeps. Can we talk like that in Chino? Let me just, Ephesians 1:13. Do you love him this morning? Thank you, Lord, for encouragement already. Already. If there's one thing you've known, if you've been here a while, this church is rooted and grounded in his love and in encouragement. Encouragement. Amen. Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth," when you heard, right? "The good news of your salvation," the good news. It's good news, isn't it? "The good news of your salvation. And as a result," this is the Amplified Version, "believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit," the one promised by Christ, as outward and protected by God. We are stamped, we're filled, we belong to him. Once a document's stamped, man, it's a done deal. You can't unstamp it. They won't take a copy because there's no stamp on it. We're stamped with the Holy Spirit. You belong to him. Regardless of what's going on, you belong to him and all the benefits that he has for us. Amen? You know, immediately in the after chapter 16 of Samuel, Goliath comes on the scene. The world knows the Bible account of Goliath, don't they? I mean, you hear people know who Goliath is. We went to Six Flags in L.A., and there's a ride called Goliath. If you've been on Goliath, it's a roller coaster that you feel like you're going to actually maybe pass out. Your vision, you start getting tunnel vision, and you're like thinking, did I get enough sleep? But no, as you took that corner at 86 miles an hour and left your brain back there. But the ride's called Goliath. Goliath meaning power. Goliath meaning big strength. The world makes Goliath, it's like, you can't be overcome. I'm a Goliath. Even Elder's last name, Elder, who's running for governor in California, is that his last name? Listening to a small clip, and he says, "Hey, I'm running. I can't raise as much money as the governor of California." He says, "It's like David versus Goliath." And he said, "And I ain't Goliath." But we use that term, David and Goliath, a lot, don't we? Today we're going to read quite a bit of scripture. Is that okay? You love the scripture, don't you? David and Goliath, we can think of like a, you know, Sunday school story. But as we read it today, let the Lord impress upon you his ability to do anything. Anything. I think of Hezekiah in the Bible who was sick. Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, "Get your affairs in order, you're gonna die." And he said he began to weep and cry out to the Lord. And the Lord brought Isaiah back and said, "I'm giving you, I think it was 20 more years. That's awesome." And he said, "Well, how will I know this will happen?" And he made the shadow on the stairs go backwards. Made the sun go backwards. That's impossible, isn't it? Isn't that impossible? Even Isaiah said, do you want this day to end sooner, or do you want a little extra time? And he said, "Oh, give me a little extra time. It's more impossible to turn time backwards than it would be to go forward in his mind." God turned time backwards. Nothing is impossible for him. I said nothing's impossible for him. Amen. First Samuel 17, 1 through 4. Let's get into the story. "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah." Let me just tell you, let me stop right there. It says, where they were at the enemy, it said it belonged to Judah, belonged to the people of God. So they came into their territory. You could say they came into their life and basically said, "You're going to serve us.
You belong to us, basically. He said, so which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle formation to confront the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on the mountain on one side, while Israel was standing on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Then a champion came forward from the army encampment of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. His height was 6 cubits in a span. And so you study that out and to see, well, what was his height? I've read as much as 6'9" to 9'9". But I know one thing. I don't know if a 6'9" guy, even during that time, would make a whole army terrified. Whatever his height was, I know that the whole army of Israel was terrified of one man. So I tend to speak this, to think that this guy was more in that 9 foot plus range, where everybody around him looked like a child, looked like he could just toss people away. Very fearful. So when they saw him, Goliath, he was imposing, very imposing. Even in the valley that separated them, they could see this is one big dude. This is the biggest guy we've ever seen. I don't know what they fed this guy, but this is one big guy. A basketball player like Shaquille O'Neal, who's 7'1", a big guy, would look tiny next to Goliath. Even the biggest imposing person on earth right now would look tiny next to Goliath. So they're looking at him and they're terrified. It's funny that they're in that where the land that is called Soko, that the Philistines were standing on that belonged to Israel. You know, that means in the Hebrew means a fence or a hedge or entwined, meaning you can't come over here. This now belongs to us. So the Philistines standing on land that belonged to Israel, I don't know how they got it, but they came in there and camped out and said, we have this. And not only are we taking some of your life, we're going to take all of your life. We're looking to take everything you have based upon one person. Now, they had an army behind them, but it was Goliath, right, that they were fearful of. So Goliath every day would come out in the morning and the afternoon, and he would defy God. And then he would say this starting in 1 Samuel 17:9-11. And he would say this to the children of Israel. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. Then the Philistine said, I have defied the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man so that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and very fearful. Very fearful. So he's coming out, and he's saying these things against the God of Israel. The thing that went right out the door that we talked about last week, that was the problem of Saul. Mind you, that Saul was the king of Israel. And Saul wasn't operating in the faith of God. He was operating on what I can see and what I think is best. And so that transcended into the army that they saw. So the same fearful heart, the same rebellion that was in Saul, not trusting God, was in his army, unfortunately. Was in his army. So they didn't remember the past victories of the Red Sea being opened up. I could ask you today, and many of you know the Lord, there's been Red Seas that he's opened up in your life and you've walked through. Things that miracles of God has done in your life. And there's something the enemy will want every time is that you forget all about those past victories. If he's given me victory in the past, he'll give me victory again. But when you don't look at God, you're just looking on the strength of man, you don't recall those things. You're just figuring out in yourself, how can I move forward? How can I move forward in the situation we're at now and with the government? Or how can I move forward now in the situation of where I'm at now in relationships or my job? Whatever the setting is, the weakness or the thing that the enemy will try to get you focus on is, how can I get the victory here? How can I make this work out? How am I self? We don't say that. But when they looked at Goliath, instantly said, big guy, we can't do this. A whole army of Israel. that had the same heart as Saul, unfortunately, looking at him. So they're very fearful. So Israel, they heard and they saw the enemy. Oh, they heard what he had to say, didn't they? Oh, they heard what he had to say. So this enemy talked like this. It said Goliath did this day after day after day for 40 days. Come out in the morning and says, bring it. Who here wants to fight with me? In the evening time, you guys decide yet who can fight me, who can take me on? You know, it reminds me of Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, hearing the same voice like a Goliath, saying, are you the Son of God? Do this. Are you really the Son of God? And so his voice, day after day, but Jesus didn't fail, did he? Amen? Those 40 days, Jesus overcame. It's the same thing to the enemy today. Are you really a child of God? Is he really going to help you? Do you really have that power? Do you really have what it takes to be an overcomer? The enemy talking. Nothing's new under the sun. Nothing new is under the sun that would come against us, that the enemy has brought against mankind since the beginning of the fall of man. Amen. Man, Lord, thank you for your word. But guess what? David is tending his sheep. And his dad says, hey, go check on your brothers. You got three brothers that are... Go see how the battle goes. There hasn't been no battle, has there? No battle. Just a standoff day after day after day after day. The enemy on Israel's land. What belongs to them, the enemy had. What belonged to the enemy's had. So David goes. He says, hey, take some food and this and that and give it to the captain of the army and check up. So David does it in verse 20 of that chapter 17. So David got up early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse his father had commanded him. And he came to the entrenchment encircling the camp while the army was going out in battle formation, shouting the war cry. They were trying to work themselves up. They were shouting the war cry, hoping they would get the courage to face Goliath. They were making the noise. But right here in the heart, they didn't have the belief, did they? They tried. They had the war cry. Verse 21, Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle formation, army against army, like they had done every day for 40 days. Verse 22, then David left the baggage in the care of the baggage keeper, what he had brought for the soldiers and his brothers, and ran to the battlefront, and he entered and greeted his brothers. Verse 23, as he was speaking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard him. David heard that. He'd heard what the armies of Israel had heard for 40 days. It was entering David, this probably 17 years old, was hearing for the very first time. And David heard him. In verse 24, it says, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were very fearful. Every day just fleeing fear. Sometimes the enemy, he looks imposing and wants us to flee in fear. Back up. Not be confident in the Lord. Maybe making a war cry. Maybe making a sound. Maybe making some prayer, but in your heart being fearful. I'm not condemning anybody today. The scripture says that these things that Paul says, these things that you're reading, let them encourage you. So as we read here, understand that the same Spirit that dwells in or raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. The same Spirit that came upon David lives in you and I. Amen? So at that time, understand that the Saul and the army, they had a different concept. Their concept was just looking at things the way they are, the way they are in the natural. The way that looking at the odds and say, well, I don't know. I don't think we can take this army. They might have had more men, but they know they had a champion. So they were looking at the odds. Let me tell you, to walk successfully with Christ, he loves working against the odds. Isn't it wonderful? He gets the glory. God will work against the odds in this country today, I say, in Jesus' name. He'll do it. He'll work in the church against the odds. He'll work on your behalf when the odds look bleak. I remember many years ago, I have to say, when God started radically changing my life, I remember saying, God, it looks like a 10 million to one chance that this is going to work out, that I'm going to make it, that there's going to be some success in some areas of my life. Sometimes people will have that in their heart. They don't feel like they can do it. The odds are against them. You could be here today. Nobody knows about it. Family, friends, wife, husband. But you're saying in your heart, say, the odds don't look good. That's a perfect timing to cry out to Him. That's a perfect timing to put your trust in Him. I remember as I started saying there's a 1 in 10 million chance that I'm going to get this thing called walking with the Lord figured out. And at that time, the Lord started now, looking unto me in His grace. Looking unto me, not your ability, not my ability, but looking unto His ability is when God opens up our eyes to His grace and His mercy. Maybe today you need to say, I'm giving up. Lord, I'm turning it over to You. Today, Lord, I'm turning it over to You. Regardless of how long you've been in the Lord or how new you are in the Lord, there's times and seasons where we just have to stop and say, Lord, I'm turning it over to You. Against all odds. Against all odds, the Lord gets the victory. I could go on. Last Wednesday, we were talking. I'm stopping. We'll see how far I get here. As we were worshiping and having Wednesday night service, it just came to my mind about Gideon. And because I'd had a conversation with a man earlier in the week who was struggling health-wise and different things, and he was saying, why, Lord? And telling me when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to say, why? And he knew the Lord. But some things had transpired and happened in his life that it was now the why syndrome. And Wednesday night as we're worshiping, it clicked my mind. I remember that Gideon, as an angel stood before him and it was there and calling him blessed, they started saying, why? Why did this happen to Israel? Why did this happen? And God went into a long explanation. No, he didn't even respond to that. He said, go in the strength I'm giving you. He act like he didn't even hear it. Go in the strength I'm giving you. Let's you and I make sure we're not getting into the why syndrome. As I was speaking that Wednesday, it just quickened my heart. Lord, let's be a church that doesn't say, why did it happen things? Or why are these things happening in my life? Or why? But just fully trust in Him and say, Lord, you'll answer those in due season. But my faith is established into You. Wherever my situation is, You're bringing me out. Whatever situation I'm in, you're bringing me out. Don't allow the why syndrome to get a hold of your heart. It'll bind you up. It'll allow resentment against the Lord to set in. It'll allow resentment against other people. And as I just kept ministering to this young man and bringing up other people in severe situations health-wise that God's bringing out by trusting Him. Your situation where you're at, make sure you don't get caught into the why is this happening. It's a question that many times can't be answered. But I know this, He's the one that gets us out of it. He's the one that restores us. He's the one that establishes us. He's the one that gets us back on our feet. And then sometimes later on, those whys may or may not be answered. God will start revealing things to you. Thank You, Jesus, that we're not a body that gets caught into the whys. Trust Him. Amen. Amen. Verse 28, we drop down to 28. David heard him. And the men were fearful in verse 24. When all the men of Israel, I said, they were fearful. Then 28, so Eliab, David's oldest brother, hears what the Goliath says. Then he starts talking to other people. I said, he's saying, can you believe what this guy's saying? And did you hear what the king's going to do for the family of the person that takes down Goliath? And he keeps talking to people, and then his brother gets angry at him. Let's start in verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him, that's David, when he spoke to the men.
And Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why is it that you have come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I myself know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." You know, David had two things to contend with. He had his brother, and he had Goliath. But you know, he didn't spend any time arguing with his brother. He said, "What have I done?" And it says he just turned around and started talking to people again. He didn't give time to his brother, the naysayer. The naysayers nowadays is, you believe in healing? Did you take a look at your life where you're at? Did you know, look at the few sheep you tend. Who do you think you are, David? We know who you are. He was judging him. You know, if you stand for righteousness and truth and faith, those that believe that things happen just by chance, they may have a faith in Christ, but they don't believe that we take authority in our lives. They'll be the ones that will come against you. Who do you think you are? What kind of pride is that? They'll misconstrue that and think that you're walking in pride when, like David was saying, who is this giant that's talking against my God? And his brother was condemning him and judging him. Don't let people judge you for what you're believing in. Not only the world, we expect that from the world, but other people, you can't let that cower you. David just says, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. And he just turned around and started talking to people again. He knew who he was. And he knew who his brother was. His brother was there when he was anointed as to be king. But then in his mind, in the natural, he says he was anointed as king. He's still just tending sheep. Nothing's happened. Maybe he thought that was nonsense. The way he talked to his brother, I would say that he thought that was nonsense. God's anointing and power in our lives, brothers and sisters, is powerful. It's not nonsense. The world will try to convince us it's nonsense, but it is powerful. Powerful to the breaking of the bondages of the enemy. Amen? Do you love him today? Amen? Amen. He just ignored his brother. And then he goes before Saul. We'll just continue on in this very powerful scripture. Nobody's fighting Goliath. Saul the king, who's a big fella himself, is staying hunkered down. Nobody's taking on Goliath. Here's a 17-year-old man, young man. You notice that it was the least little shepherd boy? That's powerful. Look at that. That's powerful. Shepherd boy. As far as the anointing and the direction and God in your life, are you looking at yourself just in the natural? Or are you allowing yourself to just get tied up in the natural? Don't allow that. With God in you, that's all you need for his purposes. People, as far as their giftings and abilities, your abilities are from him. What God has for you and purpose is from him. It's in here. God will open those doors. He's the one that will direct you. Just be patient. But don't compare yourself to others. There's many Sauls out there who say, no, it's got to be in the natural. It's got to be on the PhDs behind your name. It's got to be upon this. Only way it could happen is in the natural. I can tell you in the naturals, we'll read, David was not the guy to fight Goliath. He was the least guy that should be there. He should not have been there in the natural. David goes before Saul, verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they informed Saul and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, may no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Verse 33. But Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you're only a youth while he has been a warrior since his youth. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock. I went out after it and attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He has defied the living God. He says, he'll be just like them. This will be my victory. Many times in your personal life, don't disqualify the little victories that God has in your life. The little things that you've noticed God doing for you. He's still a small voice speaking to you. It's very powerful. It's for a purpose. Those little small voices is what gives you direction for purpose in your life. Sometimes we wait for, we want a big grandiose thing to happen for God to speak to us. But it's a small, still voice that gives us direction. Nobody knew about the lion. Nobody knew about the bear, but David did. There's many things that God will do in your life that people around you may not know. But you know what God's done for you. And He'll continue to make you mighty in war. He'll continue to make you victorious of the enemy as you remember those little things He's done for you. It's a precursor of what He wants to do before you. So don't despise the Word of God says the little things. Now the bear and lion is not a little thing, but compared to the 9-foot-9 Goliath, who everybody, every person in the army of Israel is fleeing from, it seemed like a little thing. But yet David said, I have seen His victory. And I have seen His victory, and I'm declaring out of my mouth right now, I'm not saying I hope God gives me the victory. He didn't say that. He says, this Philistine will be just like that lion and bear. Declaring. You know what? Speaking those things out of our mouths. Saying, Lord, You've given me victory. These things that I'm facing now, I'm going to go forward. I said, these things I'm going now, You're going to give me the victory. As a born-again believer in God, He has us designed to walk in victory. Not in death, not in defeat, not in hopelessness, not in we have our struggles, but even in our struggles, we're establishing in Him and saying, God, the victory is Yours. You'll give me that victory. How He loves, doesn't matter what's going on outside of these walls, the victory is ours. I shall not be afraid. I said, I shall not be afraid. I remember the past victories He's given me. I'm established. I'm not going anywhere. No one's taking me down. No one's deterring me. No one's going to get me discouraged. I am focused on what He's done for me in the past, and He will do it again. I said, He'll do it again, and He'll do it again, and He'll do it again. As we'll see in David's life, Goliath was not even close to the last battles he had to face. It was one of many, but God gave him victory in those battles. We'll see in the future as David stood up in his strength, how other men around him began to do great exploits. Did you know the little things, you can't despise the little things God's done for you. People see those. They become victories for other people. As you declare what God has done for you, it becomes victories for other people. When I see you here, or if I've been here through the years, being here with you has always greatly encouraged me. As I've seen people that have gone through struggles, but they're still here and haven't given up, boy, that gives me encouragement. You're encouraging people around you. He's done it before, and He shall do it again, Ibby. I said, He will do it again, Ibby. Again and again. Again and again. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Next I'd mentioned before is after David was anointed as king, he went back to tending those few sheep. Yes, he had been anointed. Yes, the Spirit of God came upon him. God's power was displayed in his everyday life. Isn't that wonderful? It's the everyday life, right, that we need His strength. Tomorrow being Monday, right? We know this one thing, right? Monday is our favorite day of the week. You're laughing. I assume you're laughing with belief. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8, reminder says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares about you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Those day-to-day lions or bears that seek to devour us. It says, goes about like a roaring lion. But you know, the teeth on the enemy has been pulled against our lives. Did you know the teeth of the enemy had been pulled? As we read here, Goliath didn't realize, but his minutes were numbered. As a representation of Satan, of the enemy, it looked like he had a stronghold. There's areas sometimes in our life, it feels like the enemy has that area of your life. I'm telling you, if you'll trust God, the enemy's days and minutes in that area are numbered. Absolutely numbered. And when it looks hopeless in a situation, just know and trust Him and say, this will turn around. It turns around even suddenly. Suddenly. Amen. In verse 37, and David said, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will save me from the hand of the Philistine. Hallelujah! So Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Verse 38, then Saul clothed David with his military attire and put a bronze helmet on his head and outfitted him with armor. Verse 39, and David strapped on his sword over his military attire and struggled at walking, for he had not been trained with the armor. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these because I have not trained with them. And David took them off. You know, it just shows you right then, David's victory that was coming was not based upon any man's wisdom. It was not based upon what needed to take place. Saul just assumed, okay, this kid, we'll see what happens. Can you be that? I mean, is a shepherd boy and be that desperate, putting armor on David. Putting armor on David and say, go get him, boy. Never wore these in the day in your life. Go get him. But David, walking in the supernatural, says, I can't walk in these natural armaments, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So the enemy was trying to get him to go forward in the natural. And David said, nah, I can't use these. I got to go back with how I dealt with the enemy in the past. For you and I, it doesn't change. Us praying, speaking in tongues, those praying in the Spirit, worshiping Him, how we get victory from the enemy never changes. Doesn't matter the enemy, it never changes. And so for David, he says, I can't do this. I'm going to walk in what the Lord has taught me. Worship, praising Him, exalting Him, trusting Him. And then when I heard Goliath, I couldn't help it. Boy, I got mad. I saw what my fellow brothers were doing. But the Spirit of God that was on him, that lives in us, he couldn't take it. Amen. The church is coming in a time where it's like, we can't take this anymore. We can't do it in the natural anymore. We can't do it in the natural anymore. It's His Holy Ghost working through us. We can't be uncomfortable with the Spirit of God working through us. We can't have become a church, talking to myself, that just is comfortable with just the natural. It's the supernatural. I'm not saying foolishness. I'm not saying out of order. But it's still the anointing and the power that does it. The supernatural is the only thing in this day and age. They had come to a time with the enemy there. It's like they knew it then. We can't even do it in the natural. We're at a time in a day and age with the church, we know we can't do it in the natural. What we've done in the past won't work going forward. Amen? We'll see what the Lord does. He's the one that does the work. Because then we'll see David. See, David. Well, let's just read. What verse am I on? I read 39. He says, I can't wear these. You know, Acts 4:13 says, now, as they observed the confidence, this was the Pharisees and Sadducees looking at Peter and John. It says, now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Amen? Been with Jesus. Verse 40, this is David. He says, then he took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, that is, in his shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. You know, the five stones, you know, God uses the absolutely weakest scenario you could imagine. The number five symbolizes God's grace, goodness, and favor towards mankind. It is mentioned 318 times in the Bible. But can you imagine this boy coming towards this trained giant of a man? Think about it. We hear the story our whole life with a slingshot and a stone. Five stones. And he had five brothers, huh? And they were all killed too. And not all by David either. The men that were with him. Good point. So God using the absolute weakest scenario. Amen. Father, we thank you here today, even in the weakest of scenarios going on in people's lives, that you're victorious. I'm telling you that. Don't despise the weak things. Don't look at the outer appearance, Father. Father, thank you for letting us look at in the see in the spirit realm through the Word of God, through your Holy Spirit that leads and directs us. Thank you for speaking to your people, hearing your small voice, your still small voice. Thank you for, through grace, opening up the Word of God that we understand grace like never before, understanding God's favor on your life. See it like never before. Father, we thank you for those things like religion or things that people have grown up believing that are almost like a Goliath. They can't get past them. We thank you by the weak thing. It seems weak just to believe and trust in him, but do it. It'll get past that. Your growth will go beyond. And the people will see it. And the people, the world will think that it's nonsense. But there'll be those who say, that's exactly what I need. The power of God, I see it. That's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I need in my home, they'll say it. That's exactly what I need in my job. It's exactly what I need in my business. People will see it and say, I need that. That weak thing, I can see your strength in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 41, then the Philistine came and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. Verse 42, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he was contemptuous of him, for he was only a youth and reddish with a handsome appearance. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild animals. But David said to the Philistine, he said, let me tell you what's really going to happen. I hear your barking. I hear your threats. But let me tell you what's going to happen. So he didn't just listen to the voice of the enemy. He spoke and declared. Today would be us speaking and declaring the word of God in our lives, saying, let me tell you, enemy, what's really going to happen here. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a saber, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you and remove your head from you. Woo! Then I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not say by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will hand you over to us. He will hand you over to us. The battle belongs to the Lord. I said, the battle belongs to the Lord. Then it happened. I love how verse 48 says, then it happened. It's happening, brothers and sisters. I said, it's happening. Then it happened when the Philistine came close to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone penetrated his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in David's hand. Verse 51. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and finished him and cut off his head with it.
He was done, never to come back. That enemy in that particular situation was never to come back. I tell you, when God gives you a victory, it's a sure victory. You can trust that enemy will come back and say, no, you didn't get the victory. No, you didn't get healed. No, that's not going to be made right. But when God gives you the victory, the head from the enemy is removed. The enemy always wants to say, no, you didn't get that victory. Oh, yeah, I did. My spirit tells me your head was removed in that situation, enemy. So I'm not even sure what you're talking with now. Your head's gone. Amen. Verse 51, and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and finished him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 52, when the men of Israel and Judah rose up and shouted, they pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the Philistine dead lay along the way of Shaharim, even to Gath and Ekron. The territory that belonged to Israel that the Philistines were occupying was restored to Israel. And then even on into Philistine, beyond their borders, the dead were strung. Not only a victory, but an utter victory. Not only did Goliath lose his head and his mouth couldn't run anymore, but the enemies behind him, the little imps, the devils, the enemies, were running and cowering at the anointing that was on David's life. It's the same anointing that you and I have. See, those words were written to encourage us and not just be a nice little child Bible story. It was meant today to say, God, I have victory in every area of my life. I'm telling you right now, whatever, let's not become discouraged. You could be discouraged right now. Simply put your trust in Him. Humble yourself. See, David was anointed king, and he didn't all of a sudden start a big campaign and said, okay, we're starting the new king campaign. I was anointed king, and you just need to go ask Samuel. He'll tell you. No, he went back to what he was doing. He went back to what he was doing, and in the simplicity of life, God just began to reveal himself. To reveal himself. Even after Paul had his conversion, he went out and was a tent maker for like 13 years. God revealing himself to him, showing who he was, revealing this gospel of grace that you and I follow now. And then one day his buddy, what was his buddy's name? I can't remember he traveled with. Barnabas said, went and got him. Says, come on, it's time, Paul. It wasn't even Paul's doing. Barnabas went down and got him. Come on. You're getting comfortable down here, Paul, making those tents. Come on up. God's got more for you. It seems like it can happen that way. But just be faithful where you're at. See, God wants to show himself up in the minutiae, the day-to-day stuff. The thing about David is he said, okay, he said, I've got an opportunity here. I can get out of this sheep keeping. I'm king. No, he remained faithful in the little things. Man, he remained faithful in the little things. And God showed up in a big way. Don't despise the little things, brothers and sisters. Don't despise the little things. Remember Revelation 1, 5, and 6 that we started with, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, Father God. In the spirit realm, we are kings and priests. Hallelujah. And it shows up in the natural, Father God. We thank you for that. Who we are in you, kings and priests, Father God. Let us not settle for any less. Brothers and sisters, don't settle for anything less than what God has for you as kings and priests. Don't let any enemy stop you, slow you down, make you cower back. Keep going forward in Him. Many of us faced Goliaths in our lives. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or a year ago. Don't get into the wise. Go in the power that God has given you. Gideon. Why, God? Read it. Why did we, the Midians, why are we where we're at? And God didn't answer that. He said, go in the power I've given you. He didn't allow him. He didn't even respond to it. If you're here today, it's simple this. If you've been in the why, so say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for showing yourself so faithful to me. Father, thank you for encouraging me as the worship team comes now. Thank you for encouraging me and you, Father God. These little Bible story that we look at that actually happened, it's not a story, it's an account. It was written down for you and I, reading about Goliath being defeated with a stone, slingshot, perfect shot, right in the middle of his big noggin, sunk into his noggin, fell down. David walks up, takes his own sword that he's been defying God with, and just removes his head from his body. That's awesome. That's awesomely gruesome. I mean, God has defeated the enemy gruesomely. Satan and his legions are going to be thrown in hell someday, forever and ever. That's a frightful day for them. But for you and I, eternal life, even today, living in eternal life, even today, living in the promises of God. The promises of God are just not when we go to heaven. They're for today. The Lord's Prayer says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any poverty in heaven? There's complete peace and restoration in heaven. Amen. Let's stand up together. As they're lightly playing, I just want to mention one more thing. I'm going to go all the way to John 19, 1 through 3, but don't put it up quite yet. Jesus was a king. And when he was before Pontius Pilate, he says, are you a king? He says, it is as you say. He says, I have the power to free you or put you on a cross. He says, you don't have any power but what's been given to you. Somehow, with the way Jesus, with words, he knew it. There was something different about that man. But the religious crowd was saying, crucify him. The religious leaders of the day, crucify him. He looked so weak. He looked so frail. They beat him with the stripes on his back. He couldn't even carry his own cross. Someone else had to carry his cross. I wanted to read John 19, 1 through 3. So Pilate then took, if you have that, John, I'm not sure, it's kind of towards the bottom. Thank you. John 19. Did I have the wrong one, John 19? Thank you, John. So Pilate then took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and put a purple cloak on him. And they repeatedly came up to him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And slapped him in the face, beat him over and over, putting that crown of thorn on his heads. He's a king. But that crown of thorns was put on his head so that when he rose from the dead, that you and I could walk as kings and priests on this earth, taking such a beating for us. My gosh, what he endured for us. What is it that's in your life that you say that God can't forgive? Or what's going on in your life that God can't heal this? Or God can't restore this? There is nothing because of what he accomplished. Wore those thorns mocking him as a true king. He did that so that you and I could be kings and priests on this earth. Father God, we thank you today as we realize that, Father, who we are in you, in Jesus' name. Every Goliath in our lives, Father, we thank you for utter victory in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Those things that have come against our mind or the enemy, we declare them to shut their mouths right now in Jesus' name. Father, we drive fear from our heart because your word says you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We declare that this morning, Father God, that we are kings and priests in you. We are victorious in you, Father God, and nothing can keep us down, Father God. Nothing, Lord, can keep us from your purpose in Jesus' name.
We'll come up against Goliath. But remember what he's brought you through. The little things. Don't despise the little things. They're just a precursor for your victory against what you're facing right now. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you to your own demise unless you want to trust in the natural. But God's saying, trust the supernatural. Trust me. Follow me. Father, we thank you for that today. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that's released, not out of me, out of us in Jesus' name. Lord, out of us this week, the anointing that will come forth. We thank you for the scriptures, the encouragement, the things being planted in us that come forth. Sometimes it comes up first as a little stalk, a little blade of grass. But soon it's going to have an ear of corn. That ear of corn is purpose. That ear of corn is what God uses to help others. That ear of corn is revelation. That ear of corn is a restoration of things in our lives in Jesus' name. The Word of God says that He'll restore what the cankerworm and the locust have eaten sevenfold. Thank you for restoration. Every year is the year of Jubilee for the believer. Did you know that? Every year. I'm not waiting for a year of Jubilee like they did in the Old Covenant. I'm in a Jubilee.
Amen.
Thank you for that today, Father. How we love you, Lord. The same spirit that was upon King David is in me. And we thank you for that, Father, for encouragement this week by the Spirit walking in the supernatural, not despising the weak, but God using the weak to confound the wise. How we love you, Lord. I said, how we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.